What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, where you'll find out what the Fukushima's going on.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show, hour number three. And joining us right now is Dave from CrucialNonsense.com. And Dave, thank you for spending time with us today.
Aloha, Nui Nui. Man, am I ever glad it's Pauhana Friday.
Me too. Absolutely. So we started talking about you coming on the show here today just a couple of days ago when we were talking about all these data breaches that are going on and people's phones getting into. And, you know, you basically suggested it was time to basically devote an hour to informing people what they can do to keep their telephones private, what they can do to avoid being spied on or taken advantage of by cyber criminals. So just take it away, Dave.
It's a very big, gigantic topic, and there's no way to make these things 100% secure. So just banish that thought. It's never going to happen. These things are too complex. But there's a lot of things that you can do that are fairly simple. What Dan in Washington was talking about taking your phone apart and unsoldering connectors to remove the camera, there's a lot easier solution to that. It's called a piece of duct tape just right over the camera. It defeats that just right out of the gate. It's no big deal on that. I'll tell you a brief story about what I did with the Android phone that I have. I got this phone from Amazon for $1 back in the day. It was a really good promotional deal. Didn't mind extending the contract that I was going to be on the same provider anyway. And I got the phone in the mail. And the first thing that I did is I hooked it up to the USB and I erased everything on that and replaced the firmware with open source firmware that I didn't install all the supposedly mandatory Google applications and all of that, and to spin that thing up. It took a little while to get everything working exactly proper on that. This is not the easiest thing in the world, but as a result of that, I didn't have any of the spyware on there that normally comes on there. I didn't have mandatory Facebook and Twitter and all the stuff that I didn't want running on there. And this is about the time that I was noticing that the Facebook things were trying to send information. Even though you didn't even have an account, they're still trying to send information off of your phone to Facebook. And then later on, all that stuff started coming out. And I was vindicated with what I was saying that, yes, indeed, these guys are really overstepping and they're spying on you. So not having any of that software on there, I have a little bit more autonomy with doing the stuff that I'm doing. Now, I haven't really been able to engage in a lot of updates on the phone. So this is the flip side of that, because one of the things these cell phone providers do, and it's either Android or Apple and all the manufacturers, you know, Samsung, LG, and all of them, they're always pushing update after update after update after update out. It's ridiculous how often these things are being updated. And half of the time, the update breaks more than it fixes. You know, so I was of the mindset to get as much of the stuff working on that as possible and just not update it past that. I actually have not updated the software on my cell phone since early in 2016. And everything, a few apps that I use on there, the phone and the internet and all that, it still works exactly like it did in 2016. I haven't had to worry about it breaking, which is a good thing. There's plenty enough of that. And one of the things I noticed that I didn't intentionally set out to do is because I did not let, on this brand new phone, the carrier firmware boot up and do all of its initial setup stuff the first time, the GPS no longer worked. Because what you have on the phone is not just a true GPS, it's called AGPS, assisted GPS, and it needs to be able to bootstrap a few things off of the internet to be able to get all this information so it can find all the satellites. And the open source firmware apparently doesn't have the ability to do that, which is kind of handy for me. So as a result of that, I've got a cell phone that has a broken GPS. And at first I was a little bit dismayed on that because I was kind of disappointed. Being a developer, I wanted to be able to develop a few apps on that. And then when I started thinking about it, I go, no, I don't need to spend a lot of time trying to fix that. I'm actually kind of glad for that because this cell phone is not as trackable as all the rest of them. Now, you are still being triangulated by all the various cell towers. And if you live in a heavy urban environment, they're probably going to be able to triangulate you to within a couple blocks of where you're at. But if you live in a small town or out in the rural areas, they're going to be hard-pressed to get you more than, you know, a couple kilometers. It's very, you know, imprecise. They'll know about what region you're in. They'll know what cell tower you're on. And that's about it. And had I allowed that GPS to bootstrap the first time, putting the new firmware on it would not have broken it, because the first phone I did that to was a HTC One back in the day, even before I had the Samsung Galaxy that I've got. And I had the carrier actually activate that stuff at the store, so I didn't have any choice and able to keep that thing from booting up and doing all that stuff. So I didn't even know about all this stuff. So when I wiped all that out and put the custom firmware on there, the GPS still worked on that phone. That phone's still very trackable. So that's one of the things. No soldering was required, you know, for that. Most of the things that you can do with these phones to break a lot of the intrusions and vulnerabilities, you don't do that with hardware. You do that with the software and being able to poke at it. And, you know, Apple has a lot less options available because you only have basically the iOS firmware, period, end of list. As a result, it's a little bit more mature, it's a little bit more stable, and I do have to give Apple a bunch of props on that, because they do have a very stable back end on that. The operating system's a heck of a lot better, in my opinion, than what we get on Android. With the Android phones, however, we have a lot more options of a lot of different kinds of firmware. And by doing your research, you can go out on the internet and start looking at the various, you know, open source, you know, firmware operations that you can put onto your phone. And there's plenty of them. And there's lots of how-tos and tutorials, you know, for being able to do that. But it's not the most simple thing ever, and if you're not comfortable doing technical stuff, it would probably be better for you to find somebody in your life or a friend that is capable of doing these things, because there's a lot of things you can do that they call bricking your phone and making it where it just doesn't work anymore. Now, if you're real good at all this kind of stuff, you can generally take these unbricked phones and fix them, but there are a few cases where basically it goes so awry that all the you can do is use the thing as a paperweight anymore. There's nothing to it. So that's what I have to say on the story of that. Now, with what we do with the camera, like I said, I have a piece of tape over my cameras where, you know, if I need to actually take a picture with a cell phone, I can pull the tape off and take my picture and put the tape back on there. And they can activate the camera all day long, and all they're going to get is a big black screen, so no big deal on that. Now, the microphones, they're a little bit different story on that. One thing that you may be able to do is to plug in an external headset, a wired headset, into the jack, because there are some physical switches in there that switch over, you know, to that, and the microphone switches from the internal microphone on the phone to the one on the headset. And if you've got a headset that has a physical switch that actually mutes the connection, actually breaks the connection, you can pretty much be assured that they're not going to be able to listen to that, or at least more assured. I wouldn't put anything past them to be able to find some kind of way to, you know, hack the software, whereas you can be able to get to the room microphone, the speakerphone thing, you know, amp up the gain. So there's way entirely too much of that stuff going on. The best, most formidable way to secure your cell phone is to drop it in a blender and hit puree, because these things are inherently insecure. And even with what I've done with the open source firmware, not having all of the spyware and backdoors on that, being able to go through and actually build the firmware from source, I still have to deal with what's called a baseband. And the baseband is basically the cellular modem firmware. And that is never, ever going to be open source. And they have all sorts of backdoors in that. And most of the baseband is able to access the main system processor and get past any blocks that you put on there. So you're going to be carrying around a very compromised device pretty much no matter what you do. I would recommend you have a device that you can find with a removable battery. There's not very many of them anymore. There's certainly never been that option for the iPhone. It's always a built-in battery, so you have to trust that the thing's turned off, and we really can't trust that, especially when you have the authority saying, well, we could just turn their cell phone back on for them. And That's not a good thing. So if you can actually take the battery out of the cell phone, it's not going to have any power to transmit anything. You can pretty much be assured at that point that the phone has been neutralized. One of the things that we talked about doing in the past is being able to, you know, block the cell signal with various, you know, Faraday cage type things. And as a test last night, I decided, okay, let's actually reproduce this and see just how well this works. I really wasn't worried about the security on my phone because I spent a couple months on the front side going through all this stuff and fine-tuning and tweaking everything and installing firewalls on that. But I said, okay, let's do this. I wrapped the thing with several layers of aluminum foil and started pinging the Wi-Fi, and I figured that as soon as I wrapped it, it should quit responding on the network. And to my dismay, it didn't. I was like, wow, it's still able to actually send and receive Wi-Fi signals through there. Now, when I repositioned the phone and got farther away from the access point, it does attenuate the signal, but it does not completely block it. So one of the other things, like what was shown in the Edward Snowden movie, but everybody throwing their cell phones in the microwave supposedly is a very good Faraday cage because there's a lot of high frequency and RF going in there to cook your food, and they don't want that stuff getting out and being harmful to people. So, you know, obviously you would think anything you put in the microwave certainly isn't going to be able to get out. And that's exactly what I thought was going to happen when I tossed my phone in the microwave last night. Put it in the microwave, closed the door, and picked my other phone up and called my cell phone. To my dismay, the darn thing rang. And I'm like, wow. It's ringing through a microwave Faraday cage. And that certainly has made me a lot more paranoid about cooking stuff on that, standing anywhere near the microwave when that's operating, because obviously there's RF getting out of the microwave at a much lower frequency even than what the microwave is operating on. And the higher frequencies are able to get through smaller holes. So I'm not exactly sure exactly what to think about that. I've got a couple of broken microwaves in the garage that I'm going to reproduce those results and see if they act any different. And I will probably actually do a YouTube video at some point to actually show that you can't necessarily trust all these things. Any countermeasure that you read about on the internet, your best to actually try it and test it and make sure that it's actually doing what they say it's going to do, because we can't trust all the stuff that we see on the internet. Hey, there's good information out there, but there's also a lot of bad information and a lot of poison the well stuff to give you a false sense of security. So you're just going to kind of, you know, go right on with it thinking, oh, wow, they can't hear me now, because no, it doesn't always work that way. We can't trust them.
Well, Dave, can I interrupt here for a little bit? Because one of the things you can do to check your microwave for safety, and this is just for anybody who cooks with one, not somebody worried about privacy, is you get an old-fashioned neon bulb or a small fluorescent bulb, and the first thing you do is you put it inside the microwave oven and zap it for 10 seconds, and it should light up brightly. Then you take it out of the microwave, close the door, put the microwave on, and just run that light bulb around the outside of the door and across the front little screen. And if it lights up in any amount, then yes, you've got radiation leakage.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And that's a very, very simple thing. And that does work. And I have tried that and played with that. And one of the field strength, you know, meters that I've got, you know, also, you know, sort of the needle will start to deflect and when there's any RF signals very close by. So I could actually turn my cell phone off and put that field strength meter right up against the cell phone. And if that thing is trying to send signals while the thing's off, it's going to do the same thing. Now, generally speaking, the radiation that comes off the cell phone itself is not powerful enough to really illuminate the neon or the fluorescent tubes. Some of the handheld radios that I've got are. But again, that's transmitting with a lot more power than what the cell phone does. But that's a very good test there for the microwave. And it would probably be a good thing to do, because now that I had this little experience last night with that RF getting out of the microwave, I'm very concerned that harmful RF radiation is coming out of that microwave. It has nothing to do with privacy. It's about safety.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, even with the modern microwave ovens, there's still going to be a paragraph in the instruction manual saying don't watch the food cook.
Yeah, this is probably not a good idea. And yeah, in fact, at this particular point with this particular microwave, I think I'm going to be on the other side of the house while it's doing that. I'm going to hit the start button and I'm going to quickly run to the other side of the house and wait for the beep, 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 and then I'll come back and get my food.
Or you could wrap yourself in tin foil.
Well, yeah. with that not having blocked the Wi-Fi signal as much as I thought that it would, I'm not sure how well that would work. And see, the same thing goes for all those, you know, secure wallets for the RFID chips. Because there's a lot of products out there that say that all you got to do is put this little credit card in the sleeve, and then they're going to be unable to actually steal your credit card, like what happened to Claire. Mike and I were talking about that off air, that, and we'd also talked about that on the program when it happened, that all you have to do is walk within a few feet of you, and they've stolen your credit card. And these password wallets are supposed to protect all that stuff. And I found a few of them that don't work very well at all. So what you do if you got one of those, stick your RFID-enabled credit card in that little protective wallet and go to the store and try to make a purchase without taking it out of that shield. If you're able to make the purchase, then you know that it doesn't work. If you're unable to make the purchase, then you know pretty much that, yeah, it's doing what it's supposed to do.
Well, we get a lot of products that are sold to us today that aren't as advertised. Pardon me. And, yeah, this happened Christmas a few years ago when we were still living in Hawaii at the Pearl Ridge Shopping Mall. And all of a sudden we started getting phone calls from the credit card company saying, you know, what are you doing in Michigan? Because normally we'll, if we're doing a major trip, we'll call the credit card company and comment the account saying, we're going to be on Kauai next week, or we're going to be in New Hampshire this week or whatever. So don't get upset if you see charges coming in on it. So they said, what are you doing in Michigan and why are you buying baseball tickets? And we said, no, we aren't. And they reversed that off of there. But yeah, there's a lot of people. And you can buy the equipment to do this right off of eBay, because all it takes is a laptop and the appropriate radio equipment and the appropriate software. And they just walk through the shopping mall with a backpack on, just snarfing credit cards left and right.
Yep, and it makes it all that easier. And there's also these things that they'll stick on the little ATMs and gas pump credit card things that'll actually read the card, the metal magnetic stripe even. You've got to be real careful in this day and age, because there's a lot of identity thieves out there and a lot of people trying to steal money from folks. And one of the things that they do is they won't make a bunch of big charges on these credit cards. They'll do a bunch of little stuff, and you'll end up overlooking little stuff. You know, when it's like maybe a couple dollars off, no big deal, but they're doing that times thousands or millions, and they're making a whole bunch
of
money.
Are. So when you get your credit card statement every month, you should go through that with a fine-tooth comb and make sure that you remember what all those charges are. And the hackers call this pinging a credit card, where, you know, they don't max out the credit card because then that's too obvious. But yeah, they take, you know, $2 here, $4 here, $5 here, and they figure most people are just going to look at the credit card bill, figure that's about what I thought it was going to be, and they'll sign the check, and that will be the end of it.
Yep, and we do that very drill here every single month. We go through that statement with a fine-tooth comb and check everything off one item at a time. And, you know, every once in a while, you'll get something, you know, go through there. Wait a minute, that's not supposed to be there. And you end up calling them, and they reverse the charges. Maybe there's a typo in there. Somebody puts the wrong thing in. Sometimes it's innocent. As complex as these things are, you really can't say that they're 100% anymore. You would hope that they would be, but not anymore. I haven't seen this thing be as reliable as what we would hope. The ATMs seem to be pretty reliable. They're all about making sure that every penny is accounted for, but our voting machines certainly aren't.
No, the voting machines are wide, wide open. And again, if you have not been to blackboxvoting.org, you need to take a look, especially this being an election year and looking at how crooked the 2016 and 2018 elections were. Not that our previous elections were 100% honest anyway. But you need to look at that. There's an HBO documentary called Hacking Democracy, where they show how these machines can be hacked to change the outcome of an election without even touching the physical machine. So definitely need to take a good look at that.
Yeah, absolutely. And what we saw with this, you know, smartphone, iPad app, whatever it was during the Iowa caucus, you know, is another example of how all this stuff gets compromised in there. And that had the fingerprints of the Hillary and Obama on all of that stuff. So it really kind of makes you wonder, you know, this whole fraudulent system. And we were certainly hoping that Trump was going to do something about that when he got in office, but it certainly seemed like as soon as he got in there, he dropped all that stuff.
Yeah, he really did. Okay, we got to take a break for commercials. When we come on back, we've got a phone call and then more Dave from CrucialNonsense.com. We'll be right back.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a four-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once-per-year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Well, they're stealing down on Wall Street and in Washington, too. You know, it makes me wonder, what's a guy on Main Street to do? I've always tried to be an honest, upstanding kind of guy. But I must admit, lately, I thought about giving something else a try. Oh, I want to be a pirate. I want to sail the seven seas. Yeah, I want to be a pirate. I want to do just what I...
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We're going to give Dave a few minutes rest here and take a phone call from Tom in Florida. Aloha, Tom. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Good day to you, gentlemen. Good day to you, Michael. Michael, first off, did you see the news today about the cell phones, what it's doing to the millennial kids? Did you talk about that today?
I'm sorry. Yes, you're on the air. Could you repeat that again?
Yeah, they had on the news today that these iPhones are driving these kids. It's almost worse than drug addiction. It's like they're doing major drugs. These phones actually get into the kids' brains, and these kids are like becoming drug addicts on with their cell phones. It was on it all over. It was on three major networks today. I wonder if you saw that.
Somehow I missed that one.
Yes, they had it on all the networks that these cell phones are actually creating these young kids to be like they're drug addicted. To their phone, it's like almost like a drug induced high they're getting off the cell phone.
Well, I know over in Japan there's a fad there where they're literally putting these powerful electromagnets up to their heads and, you know, turning them on, and they can get a drug like experience from that. There was even this very sick situation where kids were taking microwave ovens, and they would manually flip that safety switch so they could leave the door open, and they'd literally microwave their own brains for the high that that would produce. And, you know, can't do that very many times.
Well, they're talking about that today on a couple of net. Even CNN was talking about it. It was unbelievable. I switched the air and saw them talk. But, Michael, I just want to ask you and your guests, Dave, did you guys watch the – you didn't happen to see the debate in Vegas this afternoon, did you?
The one this afternoon or the one on Wednesday night?
The one on was on today at 12 o'clock, 12 noon in Vegas time.
Oh, the town hall, the CNN. Yeah, no, I didn't get that when I was doing something else.
Trump had 10,000 people in there, believe it or not. And what he was really, and you know, they keep talking about is all these news, liberal news networks are talking about Russia, that Trump's being on this election coming up is about Russia. But and then now they're saying that Bernie, now that the Russians are trying to support Bernie Sanders, because he is a full-blown communist Bolshevik. But Michael, I've seen a lot of Trump speeches. I never, ever saw him what he did today about really attacking the controlled media of this country. He let them have it like I never saw it. It was unbelievable what Trump was saying. Matter of fact, he said CNN, MSLSD, ABC, NBC, CBS, they're all controlled by a cabal. And he had a young guy come up from the audience. He had him bring up on stage with it. Said fake news on the guy's shirt. And it's a great shirt. But Trump was telling their ratings are so down compared to Fox News and OAN that who's funding them? And he had that guy Sheldon Adelson in there. He's a big Jewish donor to Trump. But I was really seeing Trump for the first time really attacking the news, leftist media, and who's controlling them. He's basically letting you know, yeah, there's some good Jews and there's bad Jews. Exactly what Trump was hitting on today. There's some Jews that love this country, and there's a lot of Jews that want to take it down. That's what the message I was getting from Trump. It was amazing. And, you know, getting back to Bernie Sanders, Michael, this guy, you know, you say, this guy is a total-blown Bolshevik, okay? He's not going to do nothing for this country, Bernie. What is he going to do? He's going to burn the country to the ground. And, you know, and you got Doomberg, you got two schmucks. Neither one of Michael's going to get enough. They're going to have to go to a broker convention. You know that, right?
Yes, I do, and I think Hillary's going to try and come on in at that point.
And that's what I've been agreeing with you all for the whole last year. You've been saying that, and I agree with you. If Hillary doesn't get into it, I think they might end up actually trying to give this thing to Warren. I'm thinking they're going to maybe try to give this a Pocahontas. Hiawatha.
Pocahontas. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hiawatha.
Yeah. So, you know, watching that debate, this is the first debate that I really saw Trump really going on the offense. I mean, it's like he don't care if he gets elected or not anymore. It's like he's going to really let him have it. And you know what, Michael? I think he's been listening to your show because somebody's listening and watching your show because these guys, are Trump's speeches, they're realizing, you know, about it's all about how the media is controlled by, you know, leftist Bolsheviks. I think something's really going to break here. And I think Trump had mentioned to Adelson, well, why don't you buy ABC or NBC and CBS and put like a conservative talk show host on there? You know what I mean? But he's really conservative. So we'll see what happens. It's going to be real interesting in the next 6-7 months. Really going to be amazing. Really is. But, you know, and Trump was really hitting hard on immigration. And he was talking about in Las Vegas. They caught a guy. They tied him up with his own shoelaces. They cut them in pieces. They hacked them up with machetes, and they gorged his eyes. I mean, Trump was really letting a habit about the gangs and stuff. I've never seen him. He was really on the attack today, Trump. He's done before, but today he is off the chart. I got to say, you need to archive it and watch that his speech. He was really getting off the chain today.
I'll see if I can hunt that down. Yeah, I would have liked to have seen that.
Okay, yeah, I wish you would. And one more thing, Michael. I think tomorrow's the big day. I'm waiting. I wish I could find out about this thing about Corey, but supposedly it's going to go down tomorrow night.
All right. Well, we'll keep an eye out for that. Okay. Tom, I got to let you go. We got to take a break for commercials. Back with Dave from CrucialNonsense.com after these few words.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s. Along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
How would you like to earn an extra $10,000 or more a month from the comfort of your home? We show you how to win with a home-based business opportunity. This could be one of the best financial decisions you ever make. Work from home, full-time or part-time. Plus, you'll never have to talk to anyone. Our professional sales team closes all your sales for you, and you keep 70% of all the sales made. You could be earning money while you're sleeping, shopping, working out, wherever you are, day or night. Our system goes to work for you. You can make a great income without any special computer skills or sales training. Plus, you get paid fast, within just 24 to 48 hours after our professional sales team closes a sale for you. Let us help you eliminate your financial concerns. You could be earning enough money to pay off debt, buy a house, a car, or whatever the case may be. We've got you covered. If you'd like to add an extra $10,000 or more a month to your portfolio, and you would like to know exactly what we're doing and how we're doing it, go now to www.getstartedwithus.com. That's www.getstartedwithus.com. Again, that's www.getstartedwithus.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight. Women and children alike.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show. We're talking with Dave from CrucialNonsense.com about cell phone and computer security. And obviously, if you're going to do something that you don't want anybody to know about, leave your cell phone at home. It's probably the best security you can have right there. So, Dave, have we talked enough about phones? Should we go on to computers, or do you have something more to add about the phone security?
Well, I want to talk about privacy and our communications a little bit. Because okay. one of the projects that we did that actually gave birth to the system that we're using for broadcasting right now was between a friend and I, and we called it our bat phone. And we set up a series of VPNs. I had him set up a VPN to the server that we have in the data center in Dallas, and I set one up there. And then we ran another VPN point-to-point between his VPN endpoint, my VPN endpoint, and then we set the phone switch up, and we set these accounts up where we could actually talk also encrypted on this. We had triple encryption, you know, point to point, you know, on the communications we were doing back and forth with all of that. And I was able to actually do the same thing using OpenVPN on my Android phone, where I actually have an encrypted cell phone. Those things don't, you know, come normal out there. It's a kind of a rare beast, but we've managed to be able to use not only the encryption with the SRTP and TLS on the voice over IP, which is a very rare find because most providers don't offer that for obvious reasons. And I run that on top of the VPN, so there's multiple layers of encryption on that, so it's relatively private. Whether or not they can break it with their supposed quantum computers, I kind of doubt it, but it's a matter of principle, and we're going to make them work for it. So on to the computers, I suppose, because there's plenty of things on that. You got anything specific you have in mind to talk about on that?
Well, before I get into that, quantum computing, like the transputer, is something that's had a lot of positive hype in the media. And on certain circumstances and certain classes of problems, they work very, very well. But as quantum computing is getting into the marketplace, they're discovering they're really not a lot faster than their non-quantum counterparts because of the way the architecture works. As far as wanting to talk about, how secure are VPNs? Are they really that private, or can they be hacked as well?
It's very difficult for them to hack it. It really kind of depends on a lot of different things. If you've got reputable providers that are using stuff that's not compromised, it is relatively secure. It's definitely going to keep your ISP out of your business, and it's going to be able to allow you to come out on other sides of the planet to get past, you know, content filters and things like that. And unfortunately, in this day and age, I found that YouTube and other services are blocking content to the United States that is available everywhere else in the world. So we are behind a digital iron curtain here in the good old US of A, of all things. It's kind of crazy, but that's the truth on that. And you can only trust the stuff as far as you can trust the off-the-shelf encryption stuff. And
you can't trust it all.
Which you can't trust all of it. So all you can do is get yourself a little bit better. If there's a nation state after you to be able to frame you for something, you're probably going to be pretty screwed. And the thing to do is to use non-digital communications and just, you know, stay the heck off of their grid, because there's not a whole lot you can do to completely hide from the grid. They can track all the different traffic, and if they can bust through those VPNs, that's why I run multiple VPNs on top of one, on top of another, on top of another. So their brute force is going to have a whole lot harder time trying to reveal what's going on underneath, because when they do finally get the key on the first one, they're still going to have encrypted data, and it's not going to look like they've actually decrypted it. So there's a few tricks that we can do to try to, you know, balance the equation a little bit. One of the things I like about the open source VPN technology, like, say, OpenVPN, is that it's open source. And we could go in and make slight modifications to the encryption methods, just slight enough that their method detection is not going to get the right stuff, and they're always going to get the wrong answer on that. And not everybody's capable of doing that, but, you know, if you have a little bit of development experience or have friends that do, we can start, you know, doing that. We could also, you know, do a very simple wrapper, you know, for the VPN that doesn't really, it's not really strong encryption, but since they don't know what the method is, like Mike proved with his NSA challenge, if they don't know the method, they're not going to be able to decrypt it. And if you hash the thing up with the standard stuff inside of that, it's going to be so randomized. And one of the other things that I want to do when I get time is a little bit inefficient. They would certainly not think that, oh, you're going to be inefficient with that, is this take 20% of that data and just interject random bits in there, where there's a little bit of randomness in there. It's just to really confound them with.
Yeah, I did that on one of my NSA challenges. the encryption consisted of pairs of 8-bit characters for a lookup table, but I threw a third 8-bit character in there that was coming from a random number generator just to annoy them.
Yeah, absolutely. And we can do neat little tricks like that, because they're expecting everybody to use all this off-the-shelf stuff, and they know what those methods are. Even if those methods are not backdoored, they still know what the method is, and they still have the ability to put a lot of computing power towards brute forcing it. Now, we probably don't have enough computing power on our personal desktops, but if you've got a big, gigantic NSA data center with billions of dollars worth of computers, and they really want to know what the heck you said, they're probably going to be able to figure it out at some point. And I'm not sure exactly why the microphone's muted for you there, Mike. I kind of lost your audio there for a second.
Oh, Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize for that. As I was about to say, yeah, the NSA has got a lot of computers out there. And once they know the method, they can brute force the password. And they've got acres, literally acres of computers with which to work. They are the world's largest purchaser of supercomputing equipment.
Yeah, they are. And they're overstating what they can do. I mean, it's been a big bluff. You know, a yottabyte worth of storage would basically take an entire state to be able to have the infrastructure to even have the storage in there. So what they're saying out on the internet about the NSA having a yottabyte worth of storage, that's a trillion terabytes. That is not playing around. And that would be plainly visible from space. It's 1,000 times larger than all of the world's data centers put together. So no, they don't have that much. It's a big bluff. That's why they're hurting us, like the Gmails and the Yahoos and the Hotmails and stuff like that, where we're using the systems that are already compromised. So they don't have to worry about, you know, cataloging, because all they got to do is just log into Gmail or Yahoo and just get your email. You know, they're not having to archive that stuff themselves. They've got access to it right there raw. So that's why we're trying to do a lot more of our own hosting. So that's what we had to do back in the day. If you wanted an email server, you had to run your own UUCP dates us, or the SMTP and NNTP and all those kinds of things. We had to do all of that ourselves, and now we've gotten lazy where we are relying on all these big tech companies to do it for us. And things like the social media stuff, the Facebook, it's only a bloody website, ladies and gentlemen. We can do our own websites. We can do our own publishing. We don't need to have everything centralized and herded into a nice little container where they can censor us and do all that kind of stuff to us. It's kind of ridiculous. And now the search engines are starting to become the biggest Achilles heel to the internet. That's our central point of failure, to be able to find information. And there's this algorithm that has emerged here recently inside of Google, which is in every other search engine. There's no search engine that is not affected by this. You'll notice that your search stuff on the internet is not quite as accurate as it used to be. You can't find stuff like you used to last year. Well, that's probably why. And DuckDuckGo, same thing, same exact results as Google now. Google owns DuckDuckGo, in case you guys don't know that.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, they've taken over. Google is everywhere. And the other single point of failure on the internet, the Achilles heel, is the DNS system. Because you only have so many root servers, and the registrars control all of that stuff. And in order to take a address like, say, crucialnonsense.com or whatreallyhappened.com or republicbroadcasting.org, which means absolutely nothing to the computers themselves, and turn them into the hardware IP address, like 192.168.1.1, which is obviously not any of those IP addresses, but that IP address is what allows the thing to connect to a remote computer. Now, the internet itself, the underlying routing technologies, is very robust. The ARPANET was designed where it would not fail during a nuclear war. When a large portion of the net was nuked out of existence, it would still be able to find a way, you know, to get traffic from point A to point B. And we still have that. So that's why they have to do the searches to control all of that and control the DNS, so they can maintain their authoritative control over it. If they don't like you, they just shut your website domain off and you're done. That's why it's always a good idea to make a note of the IP addresses for your favorite websites, like, say, whatreallyhappened.com, because even if the domain name goes down, you're going to still be able to get to it. One of the biggest Achilles heels that they did with this whole internet censorship thing is to monetize the internet like they did. They are so reliant on all this e-commerce, you know, for the Amazon.coms, the Netflix, and all of that, where if they had to shut the internet down in its entirety, the entire world economy would instantaneously collapse, and they can't do it. So they have to leave the internet up in order to be able to get all their money and their economic gain out of it, and they're having to play whack-a-mole with this to find ways of censoring us and trying to invade our privacy.
Well, yeah, you're absolutely right. When corporations became dependent upon the net, it made the net basically immortal and unassailable. pardon me. Now, before you made a comment about, you know, the VPNs keeping your ISP out of your traffic, aren't you still going through your ISP to access the VPN, or are you talking about running your own host that goes directly to the VPN without going through a local ISP?
Well, you're going to have your internet come from somewhere, you know, whether it's your cable company, your cable modem, your DSL, or your LTE or something. You're going to have that traffic going out to another server somewhere. And if it's all encrypted and in tunneled, they don't know where that traffic's actually destined for. So I'm connecting to, say, a VPN server in, say, Chicago, you know, with my thing, and then the connection that I'm multiplexing and tunneling through there actually connects to a computer in California. My ISP, even though the cable company's got access to all my traffic coming and going, would not know that what's going to Chicago is actually going to California instead.
I see how that would work. All right, well, we're getting close to the end of the show here, so let's switch over to your personal PC. What can you do to improve your security on your PC?
Okay, take it outside, pour gasoline on it, and smash it up, and have your neighbors take turns running it over. It's more of the same thing, because especially with the Windows operating system, it's all completely compromised. And sad enough, most of the Linux stuff is becoming compromised as well. Not as compromised, but you really kind of have to be kind of careful and mindful of, you know, what you're doing on there. I wouldn't be storing things on a drive that's online at all times. You know, flash drives are always a good thing. You store your stuff on there, and when you're done with it, you pull the flash drive out and stick it in your pocket, because nobody is going to be able to hack that flash drive if it's sitting in your pocket and it's not hooked up to the actual computer itself. And that's always a good thing to do. As far as trying to make it more secure, the antivirus software out there, you know, ends up, you know, causing more problems than not. It's probably a matter of common sense and of trying to stay very clear of all the malicious websites. One of the things you might consider doing is getting a burner computer that you can boot an optical operating system, you know, from, like, say, a Linux. There's even a Windows that'll boot off of a CD, which is read-only. And you do your web surfing browsing on that, and when you turn the thing off, it goes right back to exactly what it started with, because it's read-only media that cannot be infected by anything. You don't have any ability for ransomware to get in there or do anything with that. And there's even ways of doing that kind of a hybrid where you can have a USB flash drive for your persistence to save, you know, bookmarks and files. And again, you can remove that flash drive, you know, once you're done with it, and you don't leave it online, you don't leave the thing unattended. It's a really nasty set of scenarios out there with as much malware as they're out there. You would think this NSA thing would be tracking all these criminals down. If they really do have the ability to surveil absolutely every bit that goes across the internet, where the hell are they stopping all of the cybercrime and the ransomware and the spam and all of the child pornography and everything else that's going on across the net? Either they don't have the power they say they do, or they're complicit in allowing all this stuff to happen.
I would agree. I would absolutely. Now, remember, the Kaspersky Labs came on out and stated that the Equation Hacker Collective was actually part of the NSA.
Yeah, and I'm not surprised about that at all. I wish I could have been surprised about that. I kind of, when I heard that, I was like, yeah, that figures. Because you're going to have all these, you know, nation states, you know, invested in all this, you know, cyber warfare technology. You know, look what happened with Stuxnet, you know, trying to, you know, attack Iran, and what it did to Fukushima. It's just more of the same. And all these bad actors are out here doing all sorts of things, you know, for very specific purposes. And this stuff ends up getting out in the wild, and people find the source code to it or reverse engineer it and find ways of modifying it and adding to it. You know, I've been doing the, you know, antivirus, you know, computer security stuff for a very long time. You know, back in the very early 90s when it was a handful of viruses. I remember when there was less than 200 computer viruses out there in the world, and we had them all dissected and studied. It was, you know, a very interesting thing. Now there's, you know, millions upon millions of them, and there would be no way for any one person to study them all and have complete knowledge of all the various malware code that's out there, because I think there's probably more malware going on than legitimate code these days.
I would agree with you. On my cell phone, I get more spam, you know, robocalls than I do regular phone traffic these days.
Oh, yeah. And one of the things that's going on is private messages are being censored now, which is absolutely ridiculous. I got a message back from my provider, one of my providers, about some messages that weren't getting through. And in the next segment, I'll go through that real quick to let you know we are being surveilled and we're being censored in our private communications. It was bad enough when they were doing that with the public comments, but now there's certain things we're not allowed to discuss in text messages.
That's a very, very scary situation. And it's almost like, you know, it's going to reach a point where people are going to stop using their computers and they're going to go back to talking face to face with people around them.
That would be a good idea. I would wholeheartedly recommend that. I want to get to the point where we can be done with all this stuff, where the most advanced piece of technology that I have to operate in a given day is my spinning reel.
Yeah, there are times when I wish we could go back to a much simpler time. I mean, like my old Commodore VIC-20, you know, if it got infected with some kind of a virus or something, turn the power switch off, turn it on, you're back to a pristine machine.
Yep, and I still have that sitting here in my lab, too, by the way.
Well, good for that. Anyway, listen, we got to take another break for commercials. Back with the last segment of our program on this Powhana Friday after these few words.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75%. Dandruff, almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store, or call us
800-724-2719 extension 3. 800-724-2719 extension 3.
When all this twisted steel was swept away, did these remaining holes reveal what's really happened? What really happened?
and aloha, America. Welcome back to our show. The last segment of our show on this Pau Hana Friday, we're talking with Dave from CrucialNonsense.com. I just got an interesting email that says some YouTube videos reported by you as deleted are available outside the United States. The banning seems to be limited to the USA. Now, what makes this email interesting is he wrote the text message into a JPEG image and then sent me the JPEG image. Now, obviously, all of this scanning of personal private text messages and other messaging services is being done by a machine. So are there ways to get around it? If you deliberately misspell certain words, or if, for example, you'll spell out a word with spaces between each letter, is this going to improve your privacy? Are they going to get past the scanners?
You know, I don't know. That's certainly very interesting. I'd actually do that with the bitmaps for the email addresses I put on the website so the spammers can't scrape them out. So anyway, I was having problems with some of my text messages not being delivered, and I've been going back and forth between my provider and myself trying to figure this out. And I get this reply back. It said, never send text messaging content that is related to SHAT, an acronym, S, period, H, period, A, period, F, period, T, period. And below that, the acronym is delineated as sex, hate, alcohol, firearms, tobacco, including cannabis. Text messages with content that's directly or remotely related to these categories will most likely be blocked as spam. That's not unsolicited stuff, ladies and gentlemen. They don't want us talking about guns or sex or anything that they don't want us talking about. And they're actually censoring us. Just one message is going to be blocked. Now, they're not blocking all the various spam messages that are going on. So I responded to that and started talking to them about the alarming nature of them violating the Bill of Rights, Article 1 and Article 4 and all that stuff. And they were actually quite receptive to it. They weren't the ones doing it. It was their upstream provider that was doing that. But that's a really good idea, what that guy did, you know, putting the stuff in a JPEG. And I would actually do it in such a way, like kind of what those CAPTCHA things do, you know, where you can't really do OCR on it because, you know, if it's in real yes. plain text, the computer's going to be able to scrape that text out of there anyway. But maybe what you do is you do, you know, cursive writing and scan that in there because they're not as easily going to be able to, you know, extrapolate all that automatically. That's actually a pretty good idea. So kudos to our listener on that one.
Well, one of the NSA challenges I did involved a clear text that was a JPEG bitmap with a message written on it, and I set the kerning to a negative value so the letters slightly overlapped. So from the point of view of an OCR, it was a single blob of black.
Yeah, absolutely. And stuff like that. We're going to have to get creative with this because they're only going to keep locking us down more and more. My friend on Google Fi is sending me text messages and certain words are being bleeped out. You know, we're not allowed to swear over text messages apparently anymore. And when it's between two consenting adults and it's, you know, just a verb used for effect, I mean, we're not offending each other on this. This is something we're trying to communicate with each other, but we're not allowed to anymore. The chaperones are telling us what we can say.
Yeah. All right. Well, Dave, thank you very, very much for spending this last hour with
us.
We're going to have to let you go. And stay tuned for John Stedmiller. I'm sure he's got lots of interesting things to share with you. Please spread the word of RBN. Please spread the word of whatreallyhappened.com. Please, please, please donate. We need all the help we can get right now to keep this going. And we'll be back on Monday. Aloha, America.
Honey, I'm home.
I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.